experience had fundamentally changed Roberts' and Burke's thinking about the future of Comcast. They met with investment bankers to consider the options, which were limited: Fox, Time Warner, Viacom, Sony, Universal, and Disney. None was for sale, and all posed formidable obstacles, except possibly Disney. It was, of course, a company that Burke knew well, but he initially opposed the idea. He argued to Roberts and Comcast's board that the theme parks offered limited synergy and, post-September 11th, was going to be a tough business. It was not a business that held any interest for Comcast, and yet it produced 40% of Disney's cash flow. Network television also looked to be a wasting asset. Not to mention an entrenched management and a board that seemed to be Eisner's captive. But then Roy and Gold resigned, suggesting instability on the Disney board. Shortly after, Dennis Hirsch, a partner at the prominent New York law firm of Davis, Polk & Wardwell, and a longtime advisor to Comcast, said he knew someone who was close to George Mitchell, the Disney board's presiding director. This person had reported a curious conversation with Mitchell, in which Mitchell had allegedly said, "I've got a problem. Michael Eisner is exhausted. He's looking for a graceful exit." Mitchell had further ruminated that Eisner should have left 2 years ago, adding that several Disney board members agreed with his assessment. Was Mitchell suggesting that a merger with Comcast might be the graceful exit Eisner was looking for? This was electrifying news to Roberts and Burke. He had assumed that Eisner would be a nearly insurmountable obstacle to any deal, but this suggested he might even welcome it. Still, knowing Eisner, it was hard to believe. How should they proceed? Comcast's board met for dinner in Philadelphia on December 16th, and after hearing about the latest developments, agreed that Hirsch should have the intermediary approach Mitchell again to gauge the board's appetite for a Comcast-Disney merger. To preserve confidentiality, no one but Hirsch would know the identity of the intermediary, who was someone close to Mitchell. The first approach was made the next day, on December 17th. A week or so later, Roberts, Burke, and Hirsch had lunch to discuss the results of the latest contacts with Mitchell, which included several conversations with the intermediary. Hirsch had stressed the success of Comcast's merger with AT&T and reported that Mitchell had agreed that "this makes a lot of sense," referring to the marriage of content and distribution. "Murdoch is putting a lot of pressure on us," Mitchell had added, referring to Rupert Murdoch and the vertically integrated News Corporation. As the Comcast executives and their advisors gathered at the Philadelphia Marriott in January 2004, it appeared that the Walt Disney Company might indeed be for sale. Burke swept aside his reservations about the theme parks and the network and argued that under these circumstances, this was a unique, probably once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to acquire a major entertainment company and one of America's most esteemed brands, not to mention a chance for Burke to run the company where he'd once worked. "What do we do next?" Roberts asked. "Let's go out there," Burke suggested, "and meet with Eisner in Los Angeles." The intermediary again approached Mitchell, and this time reported that Mitchell had replied, "Michael doesn't want a meeting.